Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Get an Attitude podcast. I'm your host, Adeletta Avdeech, also known as Attitude Online. I'm a lifestyle blogger and just overall content creator. Throughout my journey online over the last 7 years, I've had the pleasure of meeting so many incredible and interesting people across all walks of life. This podcast will help us all get to know one another better while we discuss different industries, understand other people's crafts and passions, and also get real on day-to-day topics. So let's get an attitude together.
No matter what formula you're making, the most important thing is that it's that proper formula, meaning like a good recipe. That's where a formulator has to be good at what they do. And that's why a lot of times, even some of your huge companies that you see, they all take in this pool of formulas that kind of just exist. Hurry up and put a whole bunch of like trendy, so like the blue light. You're right, that is important. But that's the thing right now. So now everyone's gonna jump in and do this. Or CBD is a great example. We were one of the very first to ever use this ingredient. It is a very difficult ingredient to work with. But then you have all these companies producing these products and just putting a whole bunch of ingredients in. I always say an herbal formula, with all due respect, does not mean you take a whole bunch of herbs and throw it into a formula. That is not an herbal formulation. Every ingredient has a place and every ingredient has a purpose. And that comes from the dosage, where it's from, that goes into the whole organic and natural conversation. There's so much that goes into it. And why is that important? You can have the best ingredient in the world, and if your body can't absorb it and then assimilate it, it does no good. And worse, sometimes you can have an ingredient that may start being so good for you, but if your body doesn't process it properly, especially when it comes to internal vitamins, supplements, then actually it can cause some harm. And so that's what I really set out to educate on.
Dr. Janelle Kim, DACM, LAC, is the founder and leader formulator for JBK Wellness Labs. She's carrying on the medical knowledge and wisdom of her lineages. Okay, we're not going to use that one. I'm not redoing this clip, so this is take three. Dr. Janelle Kim, DACM, LAC, is the founder and leader formulator for JBK Wellness Labs. She is carrying on the medical knowledge and wisdom of her lineage. She's devoted to integrating the philosophy, medical wisdom, and expertise of East Asia with the advancements of modern life and medicine of the West in order to touch and positively affect the lives of others. She is a doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine and is nationally board certified in herbology, oriental medicine, and acupuncture. She furthered her studies abroad, training with some of the most respected doctors and herbalists of East Asia. Dr. Kim completed extensive training in East Asia under some of the most respected doctors in the field of Oriental medicine and is the custodian of her lineage's proprietary Baibong formulations. With almost 20 years in the beauty and wellness industry, she's formulated some of the first all-natural luxury products, which are now carried in high-end spas across the world, including the Ritz-Carlton, Four Seasons, and Mandarin Oriental, and then high-end retailers like Nordstrom, Neiman Marcus, Bergdorf Goodman, and you can find some in the natural marketplace in stores like Whole Foods Market and Sprouts. Formulating with CBD since 2012, she is known for being a pioneer in the industry and creating the first luxury CBD skincare line in the world, Cannabis Beauty Defined. She is currently working on her first book, Myong Song, The Korean Art to Living Meditation, published by Watkins Publishing and distributed by Penguin Random House. I'm so excited for you all to listen to our conversation today. We go back and forth. It's so interesting, a deep dive into the beauty space, as well as Oriental medicine, a lot of East Asia medical practices. So happy to have her today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Janelle Kim. How's it going?
Thank you for having me, Adeletta. It's going great. How are you?
I am good. I'm so excited to chat with you. Before we hit the record, I was just telling her, I love talking to people in this space. You've got such a unique background and you have so much to teach us. So I'm just really excited to dive in. So for everyone who is tuning in today, whether you guys are on your morning drive into work, whatever you're up to, tell us who you are and what you are currently up to.
Okay. Who am I? That's a good question. I know you're asking, but today I feel like, all right, who am I? I'm Dr. Janelle Kim. I hold my doctorate in traditional Oriental medicine. I come from a long lineage of herbologists and doctors. the way I like to, when I speak all over the world, one of my favorite ways of entering a conversation. And so I'm glad it's happening today, is to say that one of my main missions and purposes of this entire life is to carry on what my ancestors basically dedicated, sacrificed in some cases, their entire lives to understanding, which is the human condition, right? The human mind and body, how we can take care of ourselves in such a way that we are able to have the optimal health, happiness, you name it. And so basically what that means is I'm ninth generation. So many generations before me ultimately studied herbal medicine. They're herbologists. And so they, throughout the centuries, understood these ingredients, started creating proper formulations, which are often understood as secret formulas, right? So in our part of the world, that's a little, you don't hear that very often in Asia. It's much more of a common understanding, just part of their culture. But ultimately, I call those formulas bibong formulas, which literally translates in Korean as secret formulations. Okay. And so they've been handed down in my lineage for many centuries. I'm the very first woman, probably of my age, to be a guardian of these formulas and the very first to really put them out into the world in this way. So I am so grateful to have this opportunity in this life. I also find it to be a very huge responsibility, which I take very seriously. And ultimately how I've decided to bring this into the world, it's not exactly how I wanted to start or thought I would start. I thought I'd be in clinic with patients because I just love that. But about 20 years ago, a lot of different doctors would come and ask for certain family formulas. And I would basically give them to these doctors more like through friendship or in that manner. And there was one dermatologist in particular who said, you have to do something with these formulas because they just do amazing things. It's, you can't just keep it. And so that's what sparked all of this. So I'll always be grateful to her. And so that bursted me. Is that even a word? But that's how it feels. Into this world of sharing herbal medicine with the world through, as it happened to be, beauty and wellness in that space. And so I'm sure that's a whole, we'll go into that, but that's who I am as far as the medicine part of me. Also tied to that is philosophy. I actually say there's three pillars that come from the same root, which I like to call the Tao or the universe. And that's where this understanding of the human mind and body that's been passed on for even before nine generations, to be honest. People like to hear a number, so I give you a number. But truthfully, how long has it existed? I cannot even tell you. But at the root of that is this understanding of the universe, understanding of the human mind and body, how our bodies work, then the macrocosm out, how we relate to the things around us in nature, to other people. And so there's also philosophy, of course, that comes from that root. So I say the three M's are medicine, as I just explained. I call it meditation, philosophy, if you will, living meditation, myeongseong, and then movement, because we have to move our bodies properly. Mm-hmm. So that's who I am.
Wow. Yes. Amazing. So much to unpack here. One thing you said is you were wanting to be with patients and in clinical studies. Is this why you became a doctor? How did the doctorate piece come into play?
Absolutely. I appreciate that question because as you heard me say, I'm sure just now, it was not exactly the road that I thought I was going to go on. That happened a few times. I truly live by moving with the Tao. I think that is the most successful, not just monetary, but in life, way that we can move about this life. And so when I was young, I'm Korean and American. That's a huge part of my life and what I wish to bring. So I say I was kind of born into the understanding of this integrative medicine. I have no choice. I literally exemplify it. And so having a Korean father, he was my everything. He was the best thing in this universe, as far as I'm concerned, one of them at least. And he was very traditional. I used to say, you're so strict, but he'd say, no, I'm on principle. Translate as being more traditional than strict. And I say that because my academics, certainly he was strict about that. Yeah. There's no arguing. Mm-hmm. And so I actually thought I was going to go study Western medicine. That's the funny thing. And so I was on my path. And then I had a few personal situations that happened to myself and to those around me at that age. And I say that because I grew up seeing this medicine working. It was just a part of my life. And that's what I actually wish for this to be for all of us, just a part of our lives. And it didn't really hit me that, you know what? Not a lot of people know about this and it makes such a huge difference. And so it really was just like they say, like a flip of a switch where I made up my mind and thought completely pivoted. My friends all thought I was losing it, but now they told me, what do you mean you're leaving? What are you doing? And I just went off to study Eastern medicine. And from that moment on, I was 19, 20. I set my mind and I never stopped working and studying. I know I disappeared for some time of those around me who loved me. Where'd she go? So I didn't always know that I was going to study Eastern medicine. And that's something I'm really grateful to my parents for, my father as my father, but also my mentor. They showed me these beautiful roads, these beautiful paths, but they never said I had to go down one. So when you find that yourself, passion and rootedness and purpose comes in a way that you know, no one can give you. And so I'm actually grateful that I found that.
And where did you study the Eastern medicine?
So I appreciate that. So I have studied both and practiced both here in the United States, as well as abroad in East Asia, China, Korea. But here in the United States, I'm pretty sure it's still a pretty well-known school. It was important to me because of my lineage and where I come from. I knew that I'd get that wisdom of herbal medicine, but it was important to go to a school that was very highly accredited. So I went to Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. Mm-hmm. They had campuses in San Diego, which is where I live. So that was perfect, in Chicago and New York. And at that time, there are plenty of good schools. I think they actually have changed their name, which I'm not a huge fan of because I love the Oriental medicine. I hope they don't get mad, but let me say, I'll tell them myself. But they open the doors to a lot more things, so I'm happy. So that's what I'm studying.
I like it. The reason I asked is because my mom was a doctor when we were in Bosnia. And so when she came here, obviously those credentials mean nothing when you go country to country. So it's really cool that there are places that you can learn Eastern medicine here and not just Western, because that's, you can find those everywhere when it comes to Western medicine, but the Eastern a little bit harder to find.
Yes. And that was really important. So I appreciate it. Not a lot of people asked me that, and it was an important decision.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about how you started getting into beauty and skincare, because the thing that I find super interesting about you is that you have been a part to some degree with a lot of brands that are now on the market. And I'm curious how you got into each of this. Was it the formulation side? Were you making the products? Like, where did you step into some of the brands that we see now in Sephora and on massive shelves all throughout the beauty space?
So when I began about 20 years ago, I like to say, and I want to acknowledge, this was before even the natural products marketplace, which is, I love that you, I can tell you're going to get excited about this. I'm sure all of the people who know you will as well, but I always think about that. Like about 20 years ago, natural products were just beginning. Like we still had to make a stance on this. We still do in some way, shape or form, but what an interesting thing. So to be on the forefront of the natural products industry, if you will, of course, on the forefront of the herbal products industry. And so that's where I focused a lot. And you're right. I did a lot of formulation. That is what, like I said, I didn't necessarily imagine that would be at that time, especially so focused, if you will, on skincare, beauty care, because I am a strong proponent, of course, of internal, external, and both. And as we know, and I hope more and more people are understanding, skincare is a huge part of this. The skin is one of our largest organs. We hear this all the time. But one of my favorite things is to stop. I often say, stop and hear what you're even saying for a second. It is our largest organ. Like we say this, but think about that. That is a really big deal. And so taking those herbal formulations and the principles of them and starting to formulate accordingly, changing certain of the base formulas and handed down, that's where I began. And so in the beginning, I actually was helping to, of course, formulate, manufacture for specific brands that I would also help a lot with marketing and branding. And I say that because I certainly did not think my life was going to go in that direction. I'm not really a crybaby at all, but I have to tell you, I shed a few tears when I was like making logos and I was like, this is not what I want to do. But now 20 years later, I realized I'm so grateful because one thing I did learn growing up and from my mentors, I know everything from the ground up. And that for sure, I've had definitely at least a hand in understanding every single aspect from formulating, from conceptualizing a product, formulation, manufacturing, branding, marketing, PR, you name it. I walked through every single one of those steps to some extent.
Which is amazing. Most people don't experience every step along the way. They'll only make the logo, or they'll only be part of the formula, or they create the idea, but you've gone through every single part of it. So what's the average time that you would say? I know it's different because for me personally, I know like an Estee Lauder, they're already like 5 years ahead. They're going to want to make the trends 5 years ahead of time. But then for these smaller indie companies, they're not so far ahead. They may be 6 months, maybe up to a year. So what's the general time frame from the moment the idea comes up and you're like, we're going to do a blue light product? I'm saying that now because blue light is everywhere. Everything is trying to prevent blue light damage. So I'm curious from that concept all the way to when is it in the consumer's hand?
So what a great question. My husband and my partner at JBK Wellness Labs would, and I say that because I'll tell you how that started. Okay, so maybe I'll lead into that if you don't, because I think it'll make more sense. So I basically started to help brand and market specific brands. After some time passed, I actually was pregnant with my first son about 8 years ago. And it was some of my best friends who said to me, Janelle, how are you going to do all this? Like I worked all the time at LED and I still do, but it's a little different. And I stopped for a second. I was like, oh goodness, you're right. I didn't think about this. Don't get me wrong. It never stopped. My sons have both traveled with me around the world, 1 month old, but it made me stop to think, okay, I love what I do, but yes, maybe I do need to relook at this. And so my husband and I, at that time, about 8 years ago, What had happened is we created quite a reputation for our formulation, for the integrity, for our care of the formulas themselves and of people. And so we started having people come to us to manufacture, ask us at least, this is your specialty. Can you make products for us using your herbal, you know, potions? Or I hear so many funny, I'm like, oh, sure, whatever you want to call it. I know it works. So let's just do this. And that's how JBK, which is named after my great grandpa, not after me. Sometimes people ask, is the lab named after you? I say, no, absolutely not. It's after my great grandpa. And so that's how we created this. So why I'm leading into that is to understand this whole world of custom or contract manufacturing. And now in answering your question, how long can it take? Everyone who walks in our door, for the most part, and that's why I say Craig would start laughing if he heard this. Everyone wants it yesterday. Okay, I want this brand new concept. And you're right. Some of these are huge companies. Some of them are smaller, but even the huge ones will come sometimes and say, this is our concept, or this is an ingredient, basically one of the first manufacturers in the CBD or cannabinoid space. But we basically just get handed certain ingredients and say, this is what we want to do. I love that. And that is what we do. But yes, everyone wants it yesterday. And it's not really that simple. And you said it right. I think I heard you say about 6 months. Sometimes it can take a year. And that's not so much the formulation. Usually we get down pretty quickly, to be honest, which I'm very proud of. It's not so easy to take powerful herbal formulas and then create luxury all natural products, especially 20 years ago. That is, if anyone knew, I would basically lock chemists in the lab with me. We'd have a great time. I'm like, we're not leaving until we figure out how to make this serum this effective and not sticky. A little sticky, but you know what I mean. So the answer is it can really vary, but sometimes when you really want to create a beautiful collection, it takes some time. And so you have to start thinking about it very soon. And oftentimes it has to do with the packaging. It's not even the formulation, the ingredients. There's so many pieces in manufacturing that people just have no idea. Yeah. And then the other side of it, if I may, there's so many big companies out there that people would be blown away if they understood it really comes from this one same pool of formulas. It's really not that special.
Yeah.
And I never even knew this because I live in my bubble of these beautiful, super effective formulas. So when you do step out for a second and realize, wow, a lot of these formulations really are just not what people think that they are.
Some of it seems to be, I won't name specific names, but when there's formulas that are moisturizer that's $1,000, $2,000. And then I compare just a couple and it's, I have a $70 one, I've got the $1,200 one. And I'm like, you know, the $60 one is almost better in my mind than this other one. It's less fragrancy, less perfumey. And it is a little bit of that label. It's kind of like the Gucci, the Louis, the Chanel. You got the Chanels of skincare and beauty. And then you've got lower tier. You got the Michael Kors, Kate Spade, and so on and so forth. So it seems to be the same levels to some degree. One thing I did want to ask, because this is obviously, I think it's still controversial. So you're talking about natural, more clean products versus chemicals. Is there a difference here? Are you still working with products that have chemicals, or are you more talking about lack of fragrance, lack of alcohol? Like what exactly? There's so many different definitions with clean and natural, and there's vegan. Vegan isn't always better. So I'm curious, what does the clean even mean from your perspective? Because you're an expert in the space. And like I said, everyone's got a different definition of what it means.
Absolutely, Annaletta. And again, a great question. I don't get asked it in that way all the time. And that's a wonderful question because you're right. There's times where like what all natural products. So what I mean by that, when I say that, if you put me on the spot as we did, is no artificial fragrances, no artificial coloring, no ingredients that are super harmful for you, and preservatives. Like we talk about the silicones, the parabens, like all these things that are in so many formulas, unbelievably. Yeah. And that's oftentimes what makes the formula initially, as I know, but initially that's sometimes what makes that formula feel so soft and luxurious. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is just beautiful. Okay. That's beautiful until you keep putting it on your face. And then a year, if you're lucky, maybe 4 or 5 years later, you start to see the effects, and that's the difference, right? And so I am all about integrating different ingredients. My favorite thing is, of course, I always stay in my lane, because that is my lane, which is the herbal East Asian herbal ingredients. But I also love some of our Western, if you will, or more modern anti-aging ingredients that have been around for some time, our hyaluronic acids, our vitamin C's, our glycolics, our salicylic, our mandel. And so it's not just East Asian that we focus on, but everything comes from a purpose too. I think that's really important. So I don't want to go too far. I want to finish answering your question, but I do like to mention that. So if you have a purpose and you start with a certain intention for this formula. It's going to be good for the body no matter what. What's important? I really want to focus on brightening. I really want to focus on collagen formation. I really want to focus on reducing the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. That's where I'd be. So then I know, then I think of the herbal formulas that are properly formulated. That's the key, that proper formulation. That's what I speak around the world about. Go into that in a second. And then you have this formula and you start to build this proper formulation, which means all of the ingredients synergistically work together.
Yeah.
That's really important. And so that means if we take some of the Eastern herbs, which is, I would say, like the base of our extracts, and then we start adding in different beautiful oils or other ingredients, like I mentioned, that's how we kind of build our formulas. But what we don't do, I can say, I don't think we really ever do. Every once in a while, there's a client who cares very much and they're in a certain space and they might need a few of, you know, the ingredients that I just mentioned, never harmful, but maybe on that gray area, and we'll talk it through. That's the truth. And certainly it's much better than a lot of what you see out there, but that's how we start. But when I say proper formula, it's so important because we make skincare, body care, we make dietary supplements, nutraceutical discomfort, topicals for muscle and joints, for example. And no matter what formula you're making, the most important thing is that it's that proper formula, meaning like a good recipe. That's where a formulator has to be good at what they do. And that's why a lot of times, as we just said, even some of your huge companies that you see, they all pull from this pool. They all take in this pool of formulas that kind of just exist. Hurry up and put a whole bunch of like trendy, so like the blue light. You're right. That is important. But that's the thing right now. So now everyone's going to jump in and do this. Or CBD is a great example. Like I said, we were one of the very first to ever use this ingredient. It is a very difficult ingredient to work with. But then you have all these companies, or if they even exist, and that to even be able to call it a company, producing these products and just putting a whole bunch of ingredients in. I always say an herbal formula, with all due respect, does not mean you take a whole bunch of herbs and throw it into a formula. That is not an herbal formulation. An herbal formulation, like I said, like the perfect recipe, and every ingredient has a place and every ingredient has a purpose. And that comes from the dosage, where it's from, that goes into the whole organic and natural conversation. There's so much that goes into it. And why is that important? You can have the best ingredient in the world, and if your body can't absorb it and then assimilate it, it does no good. Right. And worse, sometimes you can have an ingredient that may start being so good for you, but if your body doesn't process it properly, especially when it comes to internal vitamin supplements, then actually it can cause some harm. And so that's what I really set out to educate on and keep bringing up to our awareness.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have so many questions. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. I'm like, which one is most important? But something you've been saying, so people think of this green or clean beauty as just plant-based. You're an in-between. You're not necessarily chemicals, but herbs are going to be more effective than just having like plants put together in a formula, which kind of brings me to the question of what's the shelf life for these products? If there's no preservatives, if you're not using some of these things that make the product last longer on the shelf, is a common shelf life?
Okay. So I love that you said that, because I want to clarify here. We do in most, pretty much all of the formulas we create, because they are the brands that are carried in your Neiman Marcus's, your Nordstrom's, your Whole Foods, Target, Walmart, depending on which brands we're working with. It's very important to have preservatives. And that's where sometimes we also have to look at our expectations. The preservatives that we use are the safest, some of the safest that you can use topically, especially internally. But of course, we'll have sometimes people who don't understand formulation or have expectations that are just not reachable if you want to purchase a product on the shelf. And so you have to use preservatives. And I always say, that's why I always go back to that balance, going back to that root of how us as human beings, how we work. We have to watch ourselves and have to understand our bodies are miraculous. We can certainly figure it out and adapt. But to what extent are we putting too many chemicals or artificial or things that are not good for us that we can't rebalance that? I say that even when it comes to these preservatives, because sure, I'm sure somewhere a study says that even this most natural preservative can be harmful. Well, water can be harmful. This is true. And I always say, if your body can't handle that, then we have a much bigger problem than using skincare, you know? And so that's kind of that balance of your answer. What is natural or clean? So of course we use preservatives in our product, natural preservatives, if you will, versus others. Otherwise, yes, you have to refrigerate the products. And shelf life, we say, of the formulas in general that we make are about 3 years unopened, 2 years unopened, I like, because it can start to lose potency.
Yeah.
If it's open, about 6 months to a year, which hopefully by then you've used it all.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great shelf life. You don't want the stuff when it says like 36 months on the bottom, or I feel like makeup is kind of that way. That just seems like a really long time. Like, why would I still be using the same like blush or bronzer 3 years from now? I feel like there's just going to be, it's just going to be a lot of, exactly. It's like bacteria from, it just seems like too long. Yes. One thing you said is that CBD is a kind of a tough ingredient, or was one of the toughest. I want to dive more into what is the hardest thing to formulate, because I've heard that SPF, any sunscreen products, are really difficult to formulate. Sounds like CBD could be a little bit tricky, but what makes these ingredients a little bit trickier in terms of the formulation?
One of the reasons that make SPF formulas a little harder to create is that there's a lot of testing that has to go behind having that SPF be an SPF 30 or 50 or you name it.
Yeah.
That the cost involved is a huge reason for SPF and why a lot of companies don't go down that road unless they are a sunscreen company, because it's not always worth it, right? Yeah. And so actually that's what I see more than anything. Formulation wise, using natural sunscreens, as sunscreen products, you have to get that proper formula, but certainly is doable from a formulation standpoint. Cannabinoids is a different story, especially when we jumped in, because we literally had the people who started the industry find us. I literally say that because we have the luxury, if you will, and I take that very seriously, of really choosing who our clients are, who we work with, because I always say, of course, I want to make personally a successful life for my family, you know, be able to take care of my loved one in that manner. But underneath it all, I truly am on a mission here. And I refuse to ever put anything out there, whether I did it or not, that is harmful and not good for people. Right. So having said that, we're very choosy and picky, and we're able to be about who we work with, if you will. I'm going a little bit down the road, but so we never really marketed, advertised. So how these people even found our lab, it was almost like a serendipitous, if you will, because I do have certain feelings about that incredible ingredient. They had heard about our name through the grapevine, the fact that we know herbs very well. We know specialty ingredients, if you will. And literally they walked into our lab one day when our door was open, which never happens. And I get a call. Dr. Kim, so-and-so is here, and they would like for you to create these formulations. And I said, okay, cannabis. That's very interesting. No, thank you. And I hung up the phone. I'm not interested. I know, here's the funny part, and that's why I did end up jumping in, that cannabis, hemp. So my lab, we only work with CBD, no THC, any psychoactive ingredients or effects. But I know that hemp, cannabis, is one of the 50 fundamental herbs of Chinese medicine. And so that's where a lot of times, as I think I just heard you say, so many of these plant medicines go back so long. Okay. And then we hear about them now. We're like, oh, that's amazing. And it's so brand new. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's been around forever.
And I'm not the one, I'm not to forget. If you want to think it's brand new, fine. But let's just understand where this comes from. And so ultimately we decided to jump in when I started seeing that this particular company who had basically started everything really cared. And what they were doing is they were helping children. That's what was happening. And I thought, okay, I'm already on the forefront of educating to the best of my ability, herbal medicine. So I suppose if this is going to take off, which it certainly did, we were correct, I'd like to be on the forefront of educating properly. And that was a very interesting path. So I created the first ever luxury CBD skincare line in the world. Our lab created the first CBD salve. And so it's pretty exciting. And certainly I hope that we pivoted this industry into at least going down a good path to some extent, if you will, and it's still going. There's other cannabinoids, and yes, I didn't mean to go that far into
this.
There's
a new CBD company literally every week now. It's just, skincare, body care. It's just everywhere now, which is again, another one of those trends. It's really hip and cool now. And I think it's really cool that you were one of the first. So it's just really cool that you've had the experience firsthand before there were examples. I think it's a lot easier to do this stuff now, knowing that there's hundreds of products available that you can take inspiration from. So many questions. We're going to have to do more because I've got so much. I could go in so many different directions, but I want to know, my experience in this space over the last, I think I started using makeup when I was like 14, 15. So it's been about 15 years now. Right. I've always noticed that the trends that happen in Korea, K-beauty, are always so far ahead of anything that happens here. One example you'll remember is BB cream. When BB cream got here, it was already like old news, like in Korea. They're like, we've been doing this for like 50, 60 years, probably even longer. What is it about Korea in particular? And just let's talk about just East Asia in general. What is it that makes these products so good? Obviously from the Eastern medicine side, there's got to be something there that you guys are doing so much better. Beautiful skin. If you guys could see what Dr. Janelle looks like right now, she doesn't look a day over 25. I'm like, I don't know how you did all this. She's a doctor. She looks incredible because you're using this stuff. You're living by what you're preaching here. But What's the biggest difference that you've seen, and why are those products so effective? And also, why are we so behind here in the US?
Well, first of all, thank you, Anna. I'm going to come on this podcast every day.
I'm your official hype girl. Your skin looks incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So where do we begin here? It's funny because I think of my mom, actually, when you say this. She was always in her time, she was very much into the beauty industry and certainly inspired me a lot when I look back as well. And so she is blonde hair, brown eyes. I say this because it's still to this day is not common to see a Korean man such as my father coming from the kind of family that we came from, married to an American woman. That's just the reality. Now things have changed a lot, but you can imagine how old I'm 38. So 38 years ago, my mom just showing up in Korea when it was still very not like it is today. Yeah. People still look like they were wearing uniforms. But I remember her always telling me when I was old enough to understand and remember, they were always ahead of the almost the curve a bit when it came to beauty, healthcare, even in some cases, fashion. Of course, now we see pop and all this. I also laughed when you first brought this up because when I first started in the beauty and wellness industry 20 years ago in the United States, because of course, this is where I'm born and where I studied and do everything. A lot of people tried to stop me. Okay, Janelle, this is really nice, this whole, you know, Asian thing, but no one's going to understand. So I don't think you should do this. And so as you, I think we've learned about each other, I say, okay, great. Thank you. And I smile and I just keep moving, you know, and then sure enough, now we look and K-beauty is like the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So thank all those people.
You're just like, I'm not taking advice from the peanut gallery. I'm on my path here.
And you just go over there and deal with your fruits and berries, which are wonderful. So one of the reasons why I have to say that I imagine, like I mentioned before, when you go to Europe, and I've had the chance to spend some time in Europe, when you go to Asia, I really believe, in my humble opinion, that these cultures, these societies that have existed for so long, we're talking thousands of years,
right.
whether you were to go to them right now and say, oh, so herbal medicine is a really big part of your life. You'd probably hear some people say, no, it isn't. But then you go into their homes and you watch how they live and it's just part of their life. We're talking about in the Japanese culture, for example, certainly in Korea as well, you know, I don't know much about this whole world per se, but we're talking the geishas and the attention to beauty and taking care of yourself, especially from the royal families, which actually Bibong formulas were once, I didn't say this, I don't say all the time, but were once basically reserved for the royal families of Korea, which is why it's a big deal that these formulas I'm now sharing with the world, because it used to be that royal families wouldn't even let them out because they treasured that so much. So of course, we all care, I hope to some extent, how we look because it's a reflection of how we feel inside.
Yeah.
But it was a whole other thing that I can't even explain. So finding the beauty secret, finding the secret to health was very treasured in a way that was something that I don't know existed necessarily in our culture in that manner. Yeah. So I think it's something that's just existed for so long. And then now you pair that with this kind of deep-rooted understanding of herbal medicine, for example, in Asia, right? Not every product you see out there, K-beauty, is necessarily herbal medicine. But if you look deeply, like I said, a lot of those ingredients, the active ingredients are certainly stem from that herbal understanding that are even the snail, right? Yeah. So
what are some of those ingredients? When you're talking about some of these herbal ingredients in beauty, what are like the top 3 to 5? Because I'm sure there's so many.
Quite often, but in my opinion, and what I love to formulate with are sometimes like the staples in our herbal materia medica, if you will. I am a huge proponent for some of our most special formulas. And if we really stick to the ones that have been passed down, ginseng is to me is one of, as many of us know, ginseng is just in Chinese medicine, in Chinese language, we call it ren shen. And literally ren means human. And if you look at a ginseng, it looks like, and that's why I love herbal medicine. It just makes so much sense. Even when they say, look at how it looks. And you're like, oh my gosh, it actually completely looks that way. And it's my favorite thing to share these things because people just makes sense. And so I love ginseng, obviously, for internal, external, just you have to know how to use it properly. Like I said, the proper formulation. I love astragalus root.
Okay.
I think goji berry is so very important. Mm-hmm. Licorice root is one that you'll see me use all of the time. And so they're not necessarily the trendy ones per se that I'm saying right now, but these are the ingredients that when you know how to work with them properly, they're certainly not inexpensive. They're very expensive to use. We have Shisandra, and then of course there's certain bamboo. And like I said, there's all these different things right now that are coming up, but those are some of the true East Asian herbal ingredients, if you will, that when you create these proper formulas, you just glow. And that is something that's known in Asia, you know?
Yeah.
I think hopefully that answers your question, but
yeah, you said a lot of things that kind of stemmed from when you said not everyone, we all care about what we look like, but it's not from this vanity perspective. Like the glow that you're getting from a lot of Eastern Asia is like healthy. You look like you've drank your fruits and vegetables. You don't look like you're eating fast food every day. It just gives you that glow of looking healthy, because the whole idea is to age gracefully. We're not trying to like freeze our faces. It's a different perspective. And that's why I'm glad you said that, because you're like, I hope we all care about what we look like, but it's not a vain thing. It's like, I want to look healthy because I don't want to look like I've smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, because that's what you get from the sun.
Yes. Right. Absolutely.
And then the other thing you just mentioned is the expensive element. So a lot of times, this is probably the most common question I get, which I always love to ask people who work in the space, is this notion. There's been leaks, if you will, or people saying these products are the same, kind of like you said, it's coming from a similar place. One may be $400 and the other is $10. Yes. What is really the difference with the price points? From what I know, there is a true divider with higher quality ingredients. They're going to cost a little bit more if you're not using garbage ingredients and fragrance and alcohol and preservatives and some of these like ones that we know are not great for us. Formulation will be cheaper, but what is this difference? How do you get an expensive product versus less expensive, like an Ordinary or the Inky List or some of those like under $10 ones? What's the difference? And also, is there truly an element where expensive is better?
Okay. So that's working a little bit hard, because yes, truly high quality ingredients are going to cost more. Yep. That does not mean that, like, as you said before, that all of the expensive products out there use those ingredients. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why people use the more harsh preservatives, the artificial colors, the artificial fragrances, because they're a lot cheaper. Yeah. So the profit margin is huge. So from a marketing perspective, a profitability perspective, maybe, I say maybe because that's not always the case. There's so many brands that we work with that do truly care about the high quality ingredients, and you do pay that. And those products are more expensive for a reason. And when you put them on, you feel the difference. And that's one of the huge things. Sometimes you don't feel it right away. And that's a little bit of the shame of the whole thing, depending on our conditions and constitutions. I might use something and that looks great on me. And I can use it for 10 years and I don't start to see them, because that's my constitution. That's how I was born. Or maybe you, Adeletta, use that same formula and you start to feel the imbalanced effects three weeks later. And that's what we have to be careful about. But our bodies can only handle so much. So in summary, an expensive product does not necessarily mean it has those high quality ingredients. So what does that mean? That means we all have to do exactly what you are doing right now, and what I hope I'm doing as well, which is educating, becoming aware.
Yeah.
I always say my greatest wish is that as human beings, we empower ourselves with understanding and awareness, not get overwhelmed, because there's a very fine line
there's
out there. But that's why I always love bringing it down to the principle, the root of things. I find that's very comforting for people. It's calming. It gives you a sense of security, even when it comes to your skincare, because it should matter that much. So in short, yes, the high quality ingredients, high quality products will usually cost more because they're that much better for you. But you have to look at the ingredient list. There is truth to, if you cannot pronounce that ingredient, there's a good chance that it's not so good to you. It's not always true. And one thing that I know a lot of the brands we work with that we suggest to the brands is, if there are certain great ingredients that are a little bit hard to pronounce or they're not your common, you put in parentheses where it's derived from. And then at least it's transparency. I think that's important. Transparency is maybe the key word there. So
I think that's the difference too, is like when you're thinking about, the easy analogy for people listening is, when you're getting your strawberries from a farm, one farm may be charging $3, another may be charging $20, and it could be because of the soil, the practices, how much money they're investing. And the $20 strawberries, yes, they're more expensive, and you're like, wow, that's expensive for strawberries, but they're going to be juicier, they're going to be made better, less pesticides, hopefully. You're expecting a quality ingredient. So that's the same situation with all the ingredients that you're putting in. You want them to be as clean and high quality as possible. So I knew there was a difference with the price, but not in all cases, which is what confuses people, because they don't want to read the labels. They don't want to read those ingredients. And it's overwhelming, like you said.
Yes. There is so much, and also is not always so straightforward.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I want to talk about adaptogens. You do put adaptogens into a lot of the formulations that you work with specifically, but also, are you able to list any of the brands that you really feel would be great for people to look into, whether it's because they're super clean, they really care? You mentioned a lot of the brands that you work with, if not all of them, really care about people and they care about the quality. So are there a couple that you can name drop so people can take a look, and we'll link them so I can take a look? I don't know if I've tried all of them either.
No, I appreciate that, Ada. So this is always so difficult for me because if Craig, my husband, was here, who handles all the business side, the answer is we really can't.
Yeah.
That's such a shame. But I like to say that if you go into your Nordstrom's, your Whole Foods, you're most likely, if you see that list of those herbal ingredients, we are behind that.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, there are a lot of those. This is the truth. And more and more coming. And it really is a wonderful thing to see. And I do, whenever possible, because I just don't want to make a mistake right now and do anything I'm not supposed to do.
I have a feeling you would feel bad if, let's just say, you had 50 of them and they're like, you didn't mention us when you said these five. So there's like that piece of it. So I wasn't sure.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. That's certainly part of it. But at least when it comes to, I'm definitely trying to be a lot more on social media, updating my website, which is a little more geared to the philosophy side because I have a book coming out. But at least on the social media end, if ever you want to pop in there, I love doing my herbal spotlights because I don't want to leave everyone hanging. Certainly will speak of certain brands that we work with every once in a great while. But
I'm going to stock like your press kit and everything. I think there was some in there. So I'm going to just stock everything because I remember seeing a few brands that I don't think I've ever tried. So now knowing just you and what you stand for and how thorough you are with the formulations, I'm like, I need all of them. So I have some skincare ahead of me.
Yes, definitely. I'll send you products. We can talk about that later. But one of the things actually in this past year, when so many things were happening, there's been a couple of things that we were able to do at my lab, JBK, that I'm really, really happy about. And one of those things is, of course, as I told you, we've been focused on contract manufacturing for quite some time, which is a beautiful thing. That's your custom, incredible formulas, but usually those have a pretty high minimum, right? So we're talking at least 5,000 units per SKU. Okay. And so deep down, that always was wonderful, but deep down, I always wish that I could make a moment to be able to create a circumstance, a division where I could open that door up to more people. And during this last year, we were able to do that. And so we do have a few formulas now that are some of my favorites that fall in the white label division, if you will. I love this because able to give out the formulas, which is my sole purpose and what I wish to do. But also it makes me really excited because I think it gives people an opportunity who might want to sell products just like these big brands, and they can't actually buy 5,000 of a cream at once and stock the inventory. And so that's something I've done recently with my team that we're really happy about. And so that's another way that, you know, that I can certainly share. We certainly have some awesome, like I said, some of my favorite skincare formulas that I now can share.
I love it. I'm going to have to hit you up down the road because my goal in I keep saying 5 to 10 years because the 10 feels more comfortable, but I want to have my own skincare brand. But I don't want to add saturation to the space. I need something that's different. You know how people have come in and they're doing CBD or whatever their specialty is, sunscreen, hyaluronic, maybe vitamin C is their specialty. I need something that's different because I don't need to saturate the space with just another skincare brand. It's in the forefront of my mind. So 10 years sounds comfortable. 5, we'll see.
I think you're already starting from a good place. I say, like I said before, if you start from a good place of purpose, then I think usually it unfolds pretty properly, if you will.
Yeah. So you said you have a book coming out. Tell me about the book and how exciting. I think you already have written a few books, right?
No, this is the first
book. Oh, this is the first one. That's so exciting.
It is actually really exciting. It's really important to me. Like I said in the beginning, there's those three pillars, right? In meditation and movement. Meditation is a philosophy aspect, as I mentioned. And so I say it's so important. And yes, not everyone can see me, but with my hands, it all shows that. And so to me, medicine and the philosophy of, if you want to call it Eastern, great. Like I said, I'm East and West. I'm old and new. And so it's hard for me. I always disclaim that phrase because it's not just East, but certainly it comes from, to me, it's human. And so to be able to now put out a book of philosophy that I worked with my mentor, it means so much. And so I was fortunate enough. I worked very hard and I had my publishers with Watkins and Penguin Random House here in the United States, which is amazing. That was
that is amazing. Wow.
And yes, it's called Myeongseong, The Korean Art of Living Meditation. And long story short, it's the understanding that meditation is a pretty huge thing right now. Mindfulness, especially given the past year that we all walked through, that's definitely some of the positives that come from any moment of challenge. But how do we get ourselves in certain mindset? This is the way I like to think of it and how I apply it to my daily life. We can't avoid anything in this life. Even when it comes to skincare, we can't avoid the pollution and the UV radiation and the bacteria and the viruses and the list goes on. It can be overwhelming. We can't avoid challenges in our life. We can't avoid miscommunication. So What I feel strongly to share are certain practices, if you will, certain philosophies, if you will. I call it living meditation that we can apply to every moment of our day where it becomes a habit. And so in the beginning, we have to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I like to say, if we can change our perspective, we can literally change our life. And at the end of the day, the choice is always ours. Always. And so that's what this book is all about. How do we take some of the ancient philosophies that have been handed down for centuries, really that come from the Tao? So those who understand the Tao, that's kind of the riddle, or the universe. And the beautiful thing, it doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are. It doesn't matter what your philosophical beliefs are. It doesn't matter your ethnicity, your gender, your age. And that's what I think is beautiful. From the time I was young, whether it's in the wellness, beauty space, whether it's in the philosophy space, just in life, to me, I always wondered, get that there's differences in this world, in this life amongst all of us. But why do we always start there? It's a very funny thing that I'm grateful to, I don't know, however I came into this world and those around me who have been with me, that the first place I like to go is that we're all human. Yeah. We all start from the same. And so if we all understand that and then implement these practices of living meditation where we don't have to just sit down, it's hard to. I'm a mom of two young kids. I'm very involved in my family, my community. I run, I don't even know how many businesses anymore. For myself even, I always make sure to wake up in the morning and do at least 15 minutes of some kind of moving meditation, if you will, some kind of meditation. But it's not easy to sit down for longer than that sometimes. So how can we apply that to our daily life? Does that mean now we just can't have it in life? No, that's ridiculous. In fact, I couldn't disagree more. Why do you have to sit down to be on the good path, to be a good person? What does that even mean? And so that's what this book is about.
I'm so excited for this because I have to tell you, when people tell me they meditate for 30 minutes or an hour a day, I'm like, I don't, just the thought of that gives me anxiety, more anxiety than the meditation would be worth. So this philosophy, moving meditation, kind of incorporating throughout the day, is amazing for the lifestyle we're all living. We're always on the go and we want these moments of peace and kind of intuitive perspective, but I don't want to sit there for 30 minutes. So this is amazing. I'm so excited. You are such a wealth of knowledge. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Go, but I do appreciate you. And I really appreciate our time together.
This is this has been incredible. You have like the wisdom of a 90-year-old and you look like a 25-year-old. So I don't know how you do it. Amazing. Where can everyone find you?
As I said, I'm definitely working more in social media, being present there. So I'm very much on Instagram at Dr. Janelle Kim, Facebook, Dr. Janelle Kim. And I just redid my website. So it talks about some of these same aspects and certainly presents the new book, and that's at JanelleKim.com. So I think those are some of the best places to reach me. Of course, the lab end, we're JBKWellnessLabs.com. So that's a great place to go. We're also redoing that a bit. So I always love feedback.
Love it. Amazing. We will have all of those linked in the show notes for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you so much, Dr. Janelle Kim. You are such an inspiration and so amazing. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you, Ada. The pleasure has been all mine. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to Get an Attitude podcast this week. Before you go, please remember to rate, subscribe, and review us because it means so much. Also, side note, we only accept 5-star reviews. I'll see you next Wednesday for a brand new episode.